out on soul winning on several different occasions, I would have people that would, I would knock on their doors, and we'd get into a conversation, and that conversation would be, it happened at least three times. They'd say, well, what does your church do to reach out to the Jewish people? I didn't have an answer other than the fact I would say, well, we knock on their door, we tell them about Jesus Christ, and if they want to get saved, they'll get saved, just like everybody else. And indeed, that's a true statement, but there's an answer that is better than that. We do have a greater obligation than most of us even quite understand of reaching out to the Jew. This book I hold in my hand was given to the Jew. The book that you and I read was given to the Jew first, and certainly we owe a great debt. I won't be able to cover all that, but the Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And I don't know about you, but I want the blessings of God on my life. And I can say this, that I have had the blessings of God on my life, and I want to keep it that way. Our nation has been blessed simply because I believe, certainly because of our Christian background of a nation, but I think that even goes back even a little bit deeper than that. We've been good to the Jewish people over the years. And I think that certainly there's some wondering which direction that our country is going in. But I just want to read a few little stats here. We'll go back just to 1991. President Bush, George W. Bush, launched a Land for Peace plan, giving away Israeli land. That day, God sent a perfect storm of 100-foot waves into the New England area, damaging even President Bush's home. And I could go on and on with these stats. I'll just read a few more. In 1992, of August the 23rd, talks resumed for Israel to surrender Land for Peace. Within 24 hours, Hurricane Andrew, a 30-mile tornado, slams into the United States. The cost was over $30 billion. April the 27th and through September the 13th, 1993, Israel and the PLO work on and sign a compromise peace agreement in Washington, D.C. During this same period, the country was hit with the most devastating widespread of flooding in United States history. The cost, $21 billion. August the 25th through September the 10th, 2001, the United States, Arabia, and Israel prepared the most comprehensive peace plan ever. God lifted his hand of protection, and the Twin Towers and the Pentagon were attacked September the 11th. Just before plans were finalized, the cost was over $40 billion. November the 7th through the 12th of 2002, during Ramadan, President Bush hosted a dinner to honor Islam and the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran, slapping our God in the face. Officials flew over to pressure Israel, and over 88 out-of-season tornadoes hit seven states. In 2005 alone, messing with Israel has cost the United States over $56 billion in tornadoes. Does anybody see a pattern? I believe that. I believe that's true, and I believe that if our nation, you know, it seems that its direction, you know, we put the pressure on Israel in many different ways. The Bible says we're to be a blessing. That's not our land to mess with. That's between God and his children. Amen? And let me make this clear, too. When people mess with Israel, they're messing with God. And let me say this, too. I'm a Christian, and I am glad that I've been grafted in. Amen? Those are our unsaved brothers and sisters, the way I look at it. And when we stand for Israel, we're standing for God. What exactly God has called us to do, I believe it's this. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 3:4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go and get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Ezekiel 3:17 says, Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning for me. So that's what God's called us to do. God has simply called us to go give them warnings, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to Israel. We've been there. I've been able to. There's so many testimonies that come, but I think I'll tell you, this is what I've learned about people, and specifically Jews. People want to know how much you care before they want to know how much you know. And as I went to the land those three different times, I'm thinking of a rabbi friend. His name is Eli Cohen. He was in the DVD here. Just to kind of tell you a story how that I built a relationship with him. And as Brother Ross and I said, I don't think you can really love somebody unless you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm for relationship building, but there comes a time, and it needs to be rather soon. If you really love somebody, you got to tell them. And that's really what I've done over these last 3 years in some of the communications and the relationships that I've bought or I've made with some of my Jewish friends. You take the rabbi I'm talking about. I met him a little over 2 years ago, and I just loved on him. I loved on him. I thanked him for all that he has done and the nation of Israel has done. And here's where it comes to. The last trip, I was over there in May, and he found out that I was coming, and he said, "I'd like for you to spend some time with me." And one of the things that he invited me over on the Shabbat. The Shabbat is the religious holiday on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it lasts through sundown on Saturday. He said, "Would you come over?" He said, "Before I go meet with my congregation, I'd like to meet with you." And one of the things that when I went there, I took a couple of gifts to be friendly to him. And story short, at the end of our conversation, I said, "Ellie, would you go get your Hebrew scriptures down?" I said, "Would you get the book of Genesis, which in the Hebrew is Bereshit?" And I said, "Could we read the scriptures a little bit?" And one of the things that I did, I said, "Would you read Genesis or Bereshit 1:1? And he read 1:1. And I said, I took my King James Bible and I read it to him. I said, "That word, our English word for God, you said Elohim. I said, could you define the word Elohim for me?" And he did. He said, "Well, it's one God, but he's in three or more parts." I said, "Exactly." And I began to explain to him Trinity or deity, and a whole lot more to the conversation. But because the time is running quickly here, my last evening over there, I was getting ready to come back here to the States, and I was in Jerusalem, and this rabbi calls me way after midnight, and he said this. He said, "Rusty, I want to thank you for coming over to my home and sharing the scriptures with me." You see, the Holy Spirit was doing a work in this rabbi's heart because I took time and I loved him, and I began to explain to him Trinity in the Bible. Because see, and I know I'm bouncing around here, but Jewish people, they think that we serve three gods. Let me ask you, could you explain Trinity in the Bible to a Jewish person? Do you understand the messianic prophecy? Could you build a candidacy for the messiahship of Jesus Christ to a person out of the Old Testament? And that's really, you know, summing this up real quick here, that's what God has called us to do. We're simply taking the Word of God, we're building relationships, if you please, and being able to take their scriptures and show them they have to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or at least a candidate. You know, that's all we can do anyhow, for any matter, that is we can show and present that God's word is true, and we can show the prophecies in the Bible so that they can see that Jesus Christ at least is a candidate. So many things, but time is short. You know, I've been to the Temple Institute, and the Temple Institute, all the preparations for the third temple have been completed. There's 92 pieces of furniture that needed to be completed. I can tell you this, since I've been on deputation, the last piece of furniture was the brazen altar. What does that mean to you and I? I would say to lay people and myself too. You know, time is short. The 92 pieces have been completed. The talk about the temple going up is very, very, very upon us. That's not good English, but it's good preaching. Amen. But, you know, with all the things that are going on over in the land, you know, somebody had said that Israel is God's timepiece. Jerusalem is God's minute hand. And the Temple Mount is the second hand. All I can tell you, I really believe that we're transitioning from the minute hand into the second hand. Things are really ticking very, very fast. And I guess I would come to you as a Christian brother, to all my Christian brothers, and say, time is short. And whatever we're going to do, we need to do it quickly. We need to understand the importance of the hour. And listen, I was up in the Golan Heights. I've had many opportunities. I've shot many of the weapons that the Israelis, you know, I always wanted to be in the Lord's army. I really did. They told some of my Jewish friends up in the Golan Heights, they said, "Rusty, you'd make a good soldier." And I could go on about the soldier part of it, but I'm going to end with this, or rather quickly here. While we've been on deputation, we have seen Jewish people saved indirectly. We've had people that pastors have invited Jewish people to come to the services, and I was in Benton, Arkansas. Dr. Ken Graham invited a Jewish lady. He told her that I was coming, and she sat back in the back, and through the whole presentation and the DVD being shown a year or so ago, she wept during it. At the end of the service, she came to my table, I was able to give her some items to her son that was in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. So he's a soldier. And was able to talk with her and be able to answer some of her questions. The pastor called me back about a month later and said, "You know, Carol got saved last night. Carol got saved, a Jewish lady." So what it is it was a relationship. God began to deal with her heart. On and on. I was in Jeanette, Pennsylvania. Brother Bob Ross. I don't know if you know Bob Ross in Jeanette, Pennsylvania, but there's a man named Bob Ross that pastors a church in Jeanette, Pennsylvania. And during his missions conference, the pastor invited a Jewish man to come to the church service that week. That Jewish man had never been to a Sunday night service. He'd only come on a Sunday morning. That week during missions conference, it began on a Sunday morning. It went through a Wednesday night. That Jewish man showed up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. At the end of the conference, they had a faith promise commitment. That Jewish man came every service. At the end of the service, he would meet me back at my table, and he had some questions that God allowed me to be able to answer him, because God has given me some wisdom in some areas to be able to have the mindset of a Jewish person, and God used me in a unique way. At the end of the service, the pastor said, if you hit the way they did the commitment, to bring your commitment cards and hand them to the missionaries. At the end of that conference, that Jewish man came down that Sunday night or that Wednesday night. He came down. He said, "I'm not saved yet, but I think I ought to give the faith promise." Amen. And I could just go on with a little story like that. There was a picture of me in the cave there, and I felt impressed to pass out tracts in a cave down in Gedi in Israel. And I started passing out those tracts, and my missions director, he caught a photo as I was passing those tracts out. The rabbi stood up and said, "Sir, what are you passing out there?" I said, "I'm passing out tracts about the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "Sir, we're not interested." By that time, pretty much everybody had had one, and I'd left. We had left out of the cave, didn't want to cause any commotion or anything like that. But as I go outside the cave, there was a young man about 30 years old that didn't get a track. He runs out to our car, and he said, "Sir, I didn't get one of those. I want to know what it says." So all I'm saying is that God does he does a whole lot with little people. I'm a little person, but I can tell you that I've not even touched the surface about what God is doing in Israel and what I believe that he's going to do with us. I have many people that I'm going to be able to be a blessing to, the Nigerian people, the Africans that you saw there. Some of them are Jewish, and they want me to come back and be their pastor. But I won't get into that story. I'll leave with a challenge for the church this morning, and that is this. When I was up in the Golan Heights, I had the awesome opportunity, like I said, to be in a lot of different military situations. One of those was I've been able to ride around in the Merkava tank. The Merkava tank is the most prolific tank in the world. Its accuracy and strength and power and technology that it has. With all that being said, somebody had asked the Israeli soldiers that we see that you have anti-ballistic missile shields on that tank. We see that you got one on the right side, one on the left side, and one on the hood. Could we ask you a question? Why don't you put one of those ballistic missile shields on the back? Because a ballistic missile shield is it's an attachment that goes on. If a missile, an RPG or a grenade or a missile impacts that, it will actually explode and keep the missile from the projectile to go into the tank and cause casualties. So somebody had asked that question. You put one on the right, you put one on the left, and one on the hood, but you don't put one on the back. They said that we don't need to. And we said, why? He said, because we're not retreating. I think it's a wonderful message for the church today. It's not time to go sideways or backwards. It's time to go full speed ahead. We would certainly appreciate that everybody here getting a prayer card. Please pray for us. And if you have any questions, I've talked as fast as a Southern boy can talk this morning. And I get jumbled up here, but I give you a lot of information. But I can tell you this, but for such a time as this, well, we have an awesome responsibility. And let's just keep on going forward for the cause of Christ. And the Bible says, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee." I've told you just in real short that you want the blessings of God to remain on your life, or you need the blessings of God, I'd say this to you. Invest in some form of Jewish work. There are blessings there, and I can tell you this from the 2 years. God has blessed us in a great way. We've been a blessed family, and I cannot think of anything that greater that we, as my family, could do, and that's to go out and tell the Jews about their Messiah, to whom they've missed, and simply be able to give them some of the... They have a lot of questions. Jesus is... Jesus has always will be, and he always will be from this time on. He is the answer for all of our problems. Jew and Gentile alike, same answer. Jesus is that answer. Thank you, Pastor.